This is the Terribly Unoblivious Podcast.
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Okay, that might be the quickest turnaround time from not having any podcast gear set up to having podcast gear set up and recording. What?
It was all here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have a studio. We're going to have a studio.
Allegedly.
We bought a condo for the studio.
You bought a condo.
I bought a condo for myself, but it's just going to happen to work out to be a studio as well.
I didn't buy shit. I didn't do any of this.
Yeah, and then lawyers in 25 years when Brad and I are having an ugly divorce, remember this statement.
I don't even want to be here.
Doesn't even have basis in the company.
No.
That'll be the argument.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I was forced to work in this environment.
Good. I hope you come at me for
right
labor
now,
laws.
Right now, I am just ignorant and I'm comfortable inside my cave.
How do you always find a way to segue in today's episode with my banter in the beginning?
Because I should have been a newscaster.
Should have been a newscaster.
JK.
You would have been good at it.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because I don't have that voice. I don't have the news voice.
I guess you don't.
You have to... Today on Terribly Unoblivious... We are going to talk about stuff.
The moon and everything that goes along with it.
How it's fake. Or is it?
Yeah, that would be rough.
It's not what we're talking about. We're actually talking about caves. Your favorite thing, actually.
Oh, I hate caves.
Actually, talking about some social media stuff, I just came up with my planned theme for tomorrow.
What's your planned theme tomorrow?
Guy upside down in a cave.
Oh, God, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just walked right into that one.
So going back two episodes now, we're going to do a little, we're going to pull back into your philosophy book.
Oh, are we?
I thought we were. Did you write a different episode? I'm sorry. I'm terribly unprepared. Hold on.
I wrote notes.
And Brad is prepared in episode.
Oh, it is in here.
Okay. And
look at that.
Oh, love it.
It's in a bunch of places because it's super famous.
And I don't know much about it. He didn't even actually, I had a feeling I knew which one was coming, but I didn't look it up on purpose because it's more fun just to have some unscripted banter.
Everybody knows, not everybody.
Does everyone know?
A lot of people know this story in some sense.
Okay.
So we're going to be covering the allegory of the cave
mm-hmm.
by Plato. And this appears in his book, The Republic,
mm-hmm.
where he lays out everything that society and politics and people should be like, I guess, in the most ideal form.
So this is, okay.
He covers a lot in that book. This is just a small portion of it.
So we are, get your phone off the table and stop it buzzing.
Can't stop it. Won't stop. Can't stop. So we're actually going to start with Soren Kierkegaard.
Okay.
Because he has a nice little intro into...
Do you want to tell the audience who that is?
He's a Danish philosopher.
Okay. The little quick bio. Do we know dates, times?
1800s.
Okay. That's
just
100-year variability.
Existentialist
there.
Or proto-existentialist from Denmark. Copenhagen, actually. 1813 to 1855. You might recognize his name from famous movies such as Wayne's World.
Mm.
Wayne's World 2. I can't remember which one it was. They reference him.
What was the reference?
I don't know.
They just reference him. Okay.
They were speaking. Was that girl he meets? Remember that? And they were speaking like
Cantonese. That's his girlfriend. The first.
Then he's
song.
Like, yeah, Kierkegaard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's him.
Okay.
So Kierkegaard once said, "There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true, and the other is to refuse to believe what is true." Make sense?
Okay. That goes a little bit back to, was that the Flame of Reason? Is that what you have there when he talks about open-mindedness?
Coaster. That's my coaster. Yeah, it does a little bit of that.
Just because you believe something completely crazy doesn't make you actually open-minded.
No, no. I shouldn't. Sometimes nor sane or smart or,
yeah,
but sometimes the opposite is true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the allegory of the cave, we're going to, it is really, Jordan Peterson's going to love this.
Ooh.
It's the archetypal hero's journey.
Okay.
And it comes from some stories previous to this. Mm-hmm. So this was written, well, like 300 BC, something like that.
Okay.
Was Plato's time, somewhere around there. And
starting early with the archetypes.
Yeah. Prior to that is a lot of these archetypes would have come from Greek mythology. And then previous to that, there was other mythologies. And if you guys remember what was the fire god that burned his mom a lot? You know, that one, the Japanese one. Yeah.
Oh.
So there are these kind of archetypes in.
They walked around the pole wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
They walked around the pole wrong. You're right. Good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I remember. I actually pay attention.
So the archetype of the hero is usually that the hero brings light or wisdom or enlightenment to a downtrodden people.
Okay.
This story is one of Western philosophy's most influential philosophical concepts because it talks about the nature of reality. It talks about knowledge. And it gets into epistemology a little bit. So the study of knowledge and how do we know what's true and things like that. Our perceptions and what actually is real enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes on to all of these things. And we've talked about this way early on that Plato kind of sets the standard for Western philosophy up until maybe some of the postmodernists start stepping away from it a little bit. But a lot of the ideas that come through almost all Western philosophers, they got a pretty deep root in Plato somewhere. Mm-hmm. So the ideas that he sets forth, while everyone doesn't agree with them, they're playing on the same field that Plato set up, essentially.
They're playing his game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you can go into like Eastern philosophy, and that's a different story. Because they apply by their kind of own set of rules. Okay. So it's very wide reaching, I think, shall we say?
So it covers a lot of bases in life.
Yeah.
It's going to touch on a lot of things.
Yes.
Okay.
So
let's get into it.
Why? Let's start with the why. Why should we study these things? Like, why study any of this shit, really? And people that are, like, I was introduced to this in my junior year, high school, maybe. And so Plato's Cave is a real introductory, like, while you can get really deep into it and it touches on a lot of things, it's also a simple story. It's an allegory, which is a story. Mm-hmm. And you can take some little piece of it, you know, whether or not you're understanding the whole thing or the full implication that he is intending or whatever. So it's a really good, like, way to dip your toe into philosophy. And so that's why a lot of, especially high schoolers, and definitely like intro to philosophy and college and things like that, will teach this kind of thing.
It's Ted Lasso, a lot of good positivity moments throughout it. You know, it's got an overall arching theme, but there's a lot of little lessons dabbled in
between. Yes. And because of the way he sets it up in a story, like it's easy to follow along. Mm-hmm. It's not super complex. That's going to be a problem, Manny.
Apparently it is complex.
It's going to be a real problem.
I don't think anyone on the radio has heard a cat sneeze before.
Well, they heard that one.
Wow.
So by studying these things and trying to understand them a little bit, when we come into problems, such as what Plato's going to get into here, we have a little bit of a roadmap on how we can think about these things. And even if we don't think the way that he does, it gives us a little bit of a view on how we can start thinking about them and processing through them. So,
okay. So you're going to lay out some rules for the audience to put themselves in, keep themselves in while they're thinking about these things with us?
No.
Okay.
No.
What? You just said, okay.
No. I'm going to give you the story.
Let's do it.
All right. So, I'm going to share a photo of this because it makes it even easier, but like anyone reading Plato, there are no pictures. So we're going to have to describe it. So imagine there are prisoners in a cave.
Okay.
Subterranean dwelling. Okay. Inside this cave, we're going to visualize a brick wall, like a 6 foot high brick wall. Okay. And these prisoners are chained to the brick wall in such a way that they're sitting down on the ground, their backs are against the wall, and their head or neck are bound in such a way that they can only look straight forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. And straight forward is the actual cave wall, right? Now, behind them is a walkway. So behind the wall that they are chained to is a walkway that people can walk to and from. And behind that walkway is a big fire, right? So the people that are actually using this walkway do not cast a shadow because the fire is above them.
Okay.
But they hold on poles, figures that do cast shadows. So you have a fire casting the shadow of a figure that is being carried by real people onto this cave wall that the prisoners see.
Okay.
Okay. So the prisoners are only seeing the shadows of figures that are held by real people. They do not see real people. They do not see the actual figures. All they see are the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is the setup. So we want to talk about that, or you want to keep going?
Let's talk about it.
So you can break that because there's going to be different scenes to this story. And in each scene, you can kind of talk about what the implication is of, so you have quote unquote prisoners.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you describe that because they're bound to a thing. They're not allowed to leave and they have no interaction with the outside world at all. The only thing they see are these shadows. Okay. So today, I think today more than ever, we can relate more to this story than people even 100 years ago.
Okay.
And the way that we can do that is through the media, social media, things that we perceive, that we see.
Senses. So what we're getting at is that you're not able to use all of your senses in both cases because...
Well, you are. You are using your senses, but you're just not having access to all of the information. And I think... And you can make arguments about, you know, there used to be papers and newspapers, and then there used to be stories and things like that. But like what we've talked about before, the misinformation is not as abundant as it is today. Right. So the prisoners basically are being fed misinformation.
Okay.
Because what they're seeing is
it's not actually people.
It is real, but they have no basis of knowledge to compare it to anything else.
Okay.
So they accept it as a reality and they name things and they, you know, that is the life to them. Similarly, I think in today's world, we can easily slip into something that we think resembles reality because we're so used to seeing it, but we lose some perception on what is actually happening around that.
So our senses only show us the shadow of the true kind of essence behind everything.
Yes.
While things are happening in the background, people can choose what shadow they're casting or others, you know.
Well, in this sense, you can look at the prisoners being bound also as a lack of freedom, and specifically freedom of movement to learn.
So in today's day and age, we can extrapolate this out to a little bit of us versus them, kind of that herd mentality, and then social media only being able to present certain things and then having people latch onto that because they don't, kind of what we've talked about in other episodes, previous episodes, people don't want to leave that herd mentality. You know, we'll talk about braving the wilderness because they're fearful to go wander themselves.
Yes.
Out. And so them being bound in that wall would be them not braving the wilderness.
Yes.
Okay.
And we will get to that as our archetypal hero leaves.
Okay.
And tries to come back.
Okay.
I think an interesting point is, at least in the cave, these people were not they didn't choose to chain themselves to this wall. That's just what they've always known. That's, and whatever. Yeah, there's obviously some problems with that as to how they got there and did all that kind of stuff. But
we choose you.
As we relate to today and what we consume and the media that we consume and the things that we watch, we are doing that a bit to ourselves. So is it
chaining ourselves?
So in a sense, you can say the people walking behind the wall holding the figures, they're kind of in charge of what the prisoners see, right? Because they have to hold it up or not hold it up, or they choose what to hold up.
Okay.
But the prisoners don't really have any option to not look. Like, that's pretty much their only option besides closing their eyes.
Putting blinders on.
Right? We have lots of options. We still have people walking behind the wall and kind of picking and choosing the things that they put out and want us to see.
Okay.
But we actually have the freedom to
move
and look at that or not look at that or look at something else.
So
thinking, or look at them.
Questioning, thinking, critical thinking.
So in that sense, I think there is a large group of us. And I think at some point, all of us are guilty of this, of choosing to purposefully be the prisoner because it's kind of comfortable. We just,
it's comfy sometimes.
You kind of sit there and somebody puts on the show for you.
Watch the picture show.
Yeah. So
where's my popcorn?
So that's
extra butter.
That's the beginning of it.
Speaking of butter, did you ever go to Nova 6 and just pump your own?
Bro.
I used to have like 2 inches of butter just sitting in the
bag. You know what I have right now?
What?
Aerosol spray butter.
What?
Yeah.
Like aerosol, like
it's in, I know a, the, it's, I know in the, an aerosol can.
I know that it's the, I can't believe, but that's like hand pump.
That's the, that was the old school one, the hand pump. Now it's pressurized.
And they figured out how to not make it foam?
It doesn't foam. No.
That's some Clark Griswold shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we pop our popcorn and then a,
how do you pop your popcorn?
On the oven. On the stovetop?
You do? You do Jiffy Pop? Or
no.
Whirly Pop.
Crisco and popcorn kernels and put it in a pan.
Yeah. Do you cover it and you just shake it? Yeah, okay. I use the Dutch oven. And do you know what I use for butter? A real stick of Kerrygold and I just melt it in a saucepan.
Wow. Look at you go.
Dude.
For all you butter connoisseurs out there.
Life-changing. Life-changing. I suggest it to anyone. I don't have a microwave in this house, so.
So. Oh, can we talk about current day trends?
Yeah, let's do it. It's our episode. Nobody's going to stop us.
This is definitely into, the only thing I really wanted to touch on was that the people walking behind the wall influence what the prisoners think.
Okay.
To the extent that they show them what they
can or cannot see.
Can or cannot see. And now I see people and even kids on any kind of thing. TikTok is a big one because they watch these people or influencers thinking that they're famous and then mimic them. And it's hard because they think that's reality.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to take this trend on. Have you seen the fit check trend?
Mm-mm.
People just go through, what was it? A really famous one was when they did, what's that one sorority that does, or not sorority, but college. Is it like Alabama or is it like Bama Rush?
Rush is crazy in the South in general.
So it's like Bama Rush or something. And so these girls are going through and they're doing like, I got this piece and I wear this from this and this is this. And then they go through all the jewelry and everything. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's, that's a pretty famous one.
Okay.
So now you have like you. 9-year-olds doing this. Like I got this from Target and I found this, you know, in the hamper and this is from this place. Like, wow, that's, but I think I'm going to start doing it for myself.
Okay.
Like out in the workshop,
please.
Yeah. I think I could really kick something off here.
But Milwaukee.
I found this in the garbage and I glued it together. It looks good.
It works.
Every day is going to be these same boots. I've been wearing them for 4 years.
No holes.
Probably not going to change.
Probably not.
Yeah. So the idea that these things in fashion, design, just ideas, Like my son watches.
It's a natural herd mentality.
It's
also hard to watch that and not see somebody blow up for, there's originality there because the original ones that blow up, there's originality. They're doing something different.
Yeah.
Like that's the difference, but it's easy for everyone just to be like, oh, they did it this way, so I'll do it that way. And it's hard to explain. Well, they got to where they're at because they did something original. So now go do something original. You can still produce content, but go do something original.
Or they figured out, you know, a soundbite second or how often to switch the camera angle and things like
that. There's all that.
The type of tone of voice that you use and things like that. But really, the thing that struck me is how easily influenced, I mean, really everybody is.
Everybody
is.
It's easy.
Because there's so much out there. So continuing on, all of a sudden one prisoner gets released. He becomes unshackled. Okay. He does the Hulk and breaks out.
Is it like Robin Hood? Like, Prince of Thieves, where Kevin Costner breaks out, or
when did he break out?
In the beginning, when he was a prisoner from the
he actually cut that guy's hand off
from the
other guy cut that guy's hand off.
Yeah,
that was intense as a young kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good movie though.
Good movie. Yeah, another one that I've seen.
Wow, we're a couple episodes in a row now. Proud of you.
So. Prisoner is allowed to climb out of his cave.
Okay.
So imagine that you come out of a cave from the darkness and you get to climb up and now you're into the sunlight.
Eyes have got to dilate hard.
Your eyes hurt.
Yeah.
He is temporarily, essentially blinded.
Okay.
Right? He can't see anything. His eyes can't adjust to anything. As his vision adjusts, he realizes that what he thought was his reality was not. Was merely an illusion put on by a fire and some people. And because of that, he begins to suffer. So the initial thought of everything that I've known up to this point has not been true. And so there's a moment of suffering before his sight kind of regains. Okay. And once his eyes adjust, he starts to be able to pick up, things that are in front of him. So he can start seeing shapes and then he can start seeing the real objects and he can start seeing reflections. And essentially he can adjust fully enough that he can look up and see the sky and the sun and all of these things. And so now we're getting out of the ignorance, which is the cave mentality. And all of these things that are surrounding him are pieces of knowledge. And then the sun is the top of it. Okay. So as we get to it a little bit, we talked before about this, how Plato kind of has this hierarchy of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the world of the forms, that would be the sun. So the sun is the highest. And anytime you're talking about light, you're talking about knowledge or enlightenment. That's the typical metaphor. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been hit with something that you thought was true or something that you believed for a really long time? And then suddenly found out not the case.
Yeah.
And?
Oh, we have to explain it. I was gonna say when I realized that you couldn't fly like in Dragon Ball Z, that was a real kick in the pants.
Really?
I'm just,
God. That was it?
Yeah. What was yours? That you weren't gonna be 6 foot?
No. I still don't know if I fully believe that. Honestly,
someday
there was I had a real moment in like junior high, where I was like, I'm going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be big one day, not tall. I wasn't going to be tall.
It's going to be strong.
I was just going to be like, yeah, I'll be like 5'8" and I'll be like 190.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
mm-mm.
No,
not 172 soaking wet.
Not, it didn't happen.
No.
No, it could happen. I think I'm going to make it happen now.
That goes to the protein shake that you wanted on the way here.
Yeah, I did.
You're going to need that. A little creatine.
I did. I had this
happen. How about some MSG with your creatine?
No.
Okay.
No, thanks. That just
stir fry.
Swells. Ooh, I did have some MSG today.
Ooh, there you go. You already had it.
Kind of good.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit, though.
It's not authentic if it doesn't have MSG.
I've had this happen in a relationship, or what I thought was a relationship, or what I thought was going to be a relationship, maybe.
Oh.
Where...
And it turned out not to be the person?
Yeah. No, it just turned out like you read everything wrong, you know?
Okay.
And I'm not accustomed to doing that. Mm. Usually I get a pretty good take on things.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like a one time, you know, like, oh, I got a good vibe one time. And so I thought, yeah, great.
You had a lot of vibes.
There was a lot of instances of potential vibes that I clearly did not.
Was she a friend zoner?
Not handle properly.
Okay.
So, but yeah, then you confront that light and you're like, oh yeah, none of this was real. So happens sometimes.
I think that's just the world in general for me. Every day I'm like, oh yeah, another disappointment.
But in that sense, you just like, he has this initial suffering from realizing that none of that was true. It's quickly overtaken by the fact that, but now I am learning what is true. And that's
all this cool shit.
And that's better than not.
This is shiny.
Yeah.
This shows me, I think.
So it's kind of him immediately doing that about face where he's like, yeah, okay, so everything was wrong, but now I get to find out what is really true. And so that's cool.
It's exciting.
It is exciting.
It
you get to learn.
What is the curve we brought up a couple of times where it's,
you know, parabolic curve?
Well, there's that too. But people that don't know a lot understand they don't know a lot, and then you learn a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you think you know everything, and then yeah. And then it is a little bit like that though. But it gets exciting. I feel like the more you learn and the more you realize it's out there, you're like, I like to learn and I like new things because I need that challenge. And
I like new things.
I do.
I like shiny things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like to chase things that I don't think I can get.
Yep.
Hit the hot take button.
Hot takes.
My doctor told me I don't have ADHD.
That's a whole other episode. Save it.
Yeah.
Shove that shit back in your belly for a while.
Because when we start talking about those things, I'm like, yep, 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 mm-hmm, yep, yep.
I don't think you went to a real doctor.
Well,
I think Big Pharma gave that doctor some money because they're so behind on their scripts that they don't have enough. They're like, we don't need to add another one.
Oh,
we're behind.
They're subsidizing no
yeah.
ADD anymore.
Yeah, right. We need the meth for other people.
All right. So now our prisoner is about to embark on the hard part of his hero's journey.
So let's recap.
Okay.
Let's recap. Your senses only show a shadow of true essence of things. If you're bound by certain constraints.
Yes. Yeah. So, if there are restraints placed on your senses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Correct. Moving from the darkness into the light, it's going to hurt because your eyes need to adjust. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, you know, your eyes are going to probably be the metaphor for your
brain.
Your brain here, or
yes.
Thought, your yes. thought process. So learning to critically think along the way, understand things for your own.
Have you heard the thing that when your brain learns a new thing, it's never able to return to its previous size? I don't know if that's true. I feel like that might be made up.
I feel like you maybe make a connection in your synapses that you haven't made before, but I don't
know. But also that connection never closes.
No.
It's open. It's open now.
You can bash your head across
the wall. Yeah, it could die.
Yeah, there you go. Not everything's finite. Remember that.
It's true.
Okay, so we've gone from the two lessons on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's our third lesson? What's our third part of the story?
The third part is now the philosopher's journey.
Ooh.
Because now he has become enlightened, and he feels compelled to go back down into the cave and tell his fellow prisoners, this is not real life. The things that you are perceiving are not actually real. There's this whole other thing out there and you have no idea what it is. But the problem is
this television show won an Emmy on TV.
What?
Which prison one? Prison Break.
Prison Break?
I don't think it won an Emmy.
I don't think he's not trying to break him out yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think that's his goal.
Maybe. Okay.
But he only has knowledge. He doesn't have like a hacksaw yet.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking low level, so just enough to know that this isn't the way.
Dissemination of knowledge, not elimination of bondage. Can we go there?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got to actually think now.
So now the problem is he's been adjusted to the light. He sees the sun. Now he's got to go back down into the dark. Okay. So he goes back down into the cave, and because now his eyes are not accustomed to the dark and he's not able to see the shadows like he was when he lived in the dark, he stumbles and he fumbles around and he's not able to really see clearly down there. And so as he starts talking to these prisoners, they misinterpret his temporary vision impairment for stupidity.
Mm.
So they think, look, you went up there and now you don't even know what any of this is. You're just an idiot, you know? And so they become...
So he has a hard time conveying.
He has a hard time... Not only does he have a hard time conveying, but they become almost violently
cynical,
counteractive to what he's trying to do.
Okay.
And so
Dr. Fauci,
the harder that he tries to convey what is really out there, the more they resist.
Mm-hmm.
Him. So, and this is his big metaphor for the task at hand when philosophers try to, I guess, enlighten the masses on a new topic. So you're challenging a previously long held belief, and that's not going to go very well.
Mm-mm.
Almost ever.
It's not good.
It's not good.
Don't tell me Barney doesn't exist.
He doesn't. He doesn't exist.
This podcast is over.
It's a guy. It's Roger. It's in a suit. So we come back to the masses find a sense of comfort in their ignorance. So there's a real sense that I don't want to step out of the cave. I don't want to have to go into this light that apparently has made you disillusioned and stumbling and talking like a fool.
I've seen a guy smoke that before too, and he didn't turn out that great.
Smoke what?
I don't know.
Smoke what?
The ribs?
Oh.
Hickory?
What do you smoke?
Never mind.
I missed it.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
So would they say I'm comfortable in my ignorance? Probably not. Not most of them. It would take a reasonably enlightened person to have that much self-realization, I think. Much like the Roger Craig James Bond. You know, I'm aware that 00s have a short lifespan.
Did you say Roger?
Daniel Craig.
You said Roger Craig.
Oh, he's a good football player.
Yeah, Roger Moore.
Daniel I was Roger Craig. Moore. I did.
Yeah.
I did the crossover.
Yeah. So, why do you gotta fuck it up like that?
I like it.
No.
I like it.
It's Daniel Craig.
Daniel Moore?
It's Casino Royale.
Roger Craig and Daniel Moore.
No.
Yeah.
He's telling M that her mistake won't be long-lived because he understands that we have a short life expectancy. That's a pretty ballsy statement. Like,
yeah,
it's okay. I have that much faith in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can become angry.
Okay.
Defiant.
The masses are getting angry. TikTok ban.
TikTok ban.
TikTok ban is right there.
That's going to be a problem.
Taking my fucking shadows away.
It's going to be a problem.
And you can't tell me why you're taking my fucking shadows away. Or I can see the fucking shadows. What do you mean you? Or what?
They can't tell you.
Yeah.
It's top secret.
Yeah, exactly. Just also like Huawei, the cell phone manufacturer.
Yeah. Again, the big though.
Chinese tech firm.
Again, though, we have the freedom to, the freedom of movement.
Yep.
So.
Unless the monopoly is involved.
Unless that's involved. So as a more enlightened species in terms of consuming social media, we're able to look at other things and we need to, I guess, question. I mean, that's...
I've got questions.
Go.
Why don't people have all the fucking encyclopedias on their shelves anymore? You mail order that shit. You got the whole Britannica series. Just wait.
Because Wikipedia exists and they just constantly change.
But that leather bound book is, How you imagine that guy shows up to your door? You're, okay, K through L got there.
I remember being a kid and reading the ones in my grandma's basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was and then wondering, like, hey, why isn't this in here?
I would do that at the
because I'd do that at the library. All the
60
time.
Years old.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what? Why is this not filled out?
Times are moving a little fast now.
But K through L got updated last year. Would you like your two new bounds?
Yeah, I would.
God, traveling door to door salesman. Oof, what a time to be alive.
Can you imagine if they said in those that like dinosaurs had feathers? Like the new edition was like, oh, new revelation, dinosaurs have feathers. Everybody would be like, dude, this is blasphemy. I'm going to set these books on fire. Just can't deal with it.
And how do you know if she's a witch?
If she drowns.
What else floats on water? A duck.
A duck.
I think that scene in itself kind of exemplifies the masses of we've got an ignorant person that's leading.
You know what is strange about today, though, is that I feel like we accept new knowledge
too quickly?
Kind of too quickly. I remember several months ago when the government was basically just like, yeah, UFOs exist and aliens are out there and we have some real knowledge of this. And everyone was like, okay, like I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Can you lower my taxes?
Travis Kelsey's dating Taylor Swift. We got bigger shit to worry about.
Have you seen the Barbie movie?
Yeah.
So some of these things come out and it just doesn't even register with people anymore. Like what they feel is important has shifted.
We have notification fatigue.
Yeah.
And the perfect example of my work is I get automated emails out of our CRM system, so like our client relations management system or content relations management system. And I get notified so much that it takes a lot for me to actually read one of the emails. And I miss important shit sometimes because 99% of the time it's bullshit. And then 1% of the time it's important. And then something slips through the cracks.
I feel like that's a you problem. Mm. I feel like you made up that term.
What?
Whatever.
Notification fatigue?
Yeah.
No, it's a very real thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
It's like
I think we just get inundated with so much BS that people are tired of filtering it. Why would I burden myself with filtering more and more? And the easy button here is, why don't you reduce your connection?
Yes.
And then make your notifications more valuable. But instead it's just, let's ignore it all.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I'll just tune it out.
Tune it out. I like that.
Hmm.
So while this hero is on his journey, he kind of also has to realize that sometimes people aren't ready to leave the cave. They don't want to come out. And
I mean, half of Mr. Mom, the movie, was the kid wouldn't give up his blankie.
His woobie.
His woobie. Sorry, not his blankie. His woobie.
His woobie.
Yeah. And he wasn't ready. And then finally there was a moment.
I don't remember what that moment was.
It's when he went into the room and he's like, I think it's time. And he was like, I'd like to take this moment to myself, Dad. And he's like, okay. And he lays back on the bed,
right.
Puts his hands behind his head. And he's just like,
what a good movie.
It's a great one. Oh, you saw that one too. Holy shit.
Yeah.
The gravity of that.
Hey, bring it on, Michael Keaton.
Love it. All right. So some people just aren't ready to leave.
Okay. So there have been lots of examples of this. If you want to go pre this is Greek mythology. So it's Prometheus. You know Prometheus?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story of Prometheus?
Yes.
Remember? What is it?
I don't know.
Come on. Prometheus was a Titan. So one of the giant people. And he sees the gods.
Where is Atlas? So Atlas has the world on his back. He's trapped there.
Yeah.
And then Prometheus, how many were there? There's six, seven?
What?
Titans? Because only the gods feared the Titans, but they put them away.
Yes.
Okay.
So Prometheus was a Titan. And so he could see the gods up here, and then he could see mankind, the mortals, below. And he can see that the gods have fire, and that the mortals don't have fire.
Oh, Prometheus gave fire to the gods. Or to the...
In the same sense, fire or the light... much like the dawn of mankind really establishes as caveman discovers fire and how to utilize that and keep it. The fire represents the knowledge. And so he takes this knowledge that the gods have and gives it to the mortals.
Technology, knowledge, civilization, because they can build off of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The idea of enlightenment. So the moving forward of civilization. However, sometimes when you give people knowledge or what you'd consider the truth or enlightenment, the people previously holding on to that don't tend to take kindly to it. So Prometheus got bound to a mountain where an eagle harassed him on a daily basis. That was his punishment. Socrates. So Plato's teacher, which is who Plato mostly writes about, was put to death in Athens for basically disrupting the public policy and questioning those who were in charge of whether things were really being done the correct way or not and the ideas that they held. And so for that, he got to drink some hemlock and died. So it is a real upsetting of the apple cart, and the fruits of your labor are often not rewarded until much later. So you don't, until very recently, you don't see many philosophers that are famous in their time. It is typically much later.
It's probably because they had a crack habit.
It's probably because they seem fucking insane at the time.
Yeah.
So.
Ergo, the crack habit.
I mean.
They might be onto something. Minus the teeth.
I would guess more shrooms or something.
Mm.
So. What about a modern day, another really good, give me a modern day example of this. Like as a story or movie.
Of what?
Of the cave. Of the allegory of the cave.
Barbie movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
Could be. But I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
You don't know? Really?
Go.
Shoot. The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So the cave in the Matrix is...
I was going to say Hancock.
That's not... I know. That's not it. That's not... God.
I love that you've seen it, though. I know that it's so disappointing.
Forgot Jason Bateman was in that, too.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Charlize Theron, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Also,
our boy.
Spoiler alert.
Will Smith slaps him.
Superhero.
Oh.
The cave in the Matrix was the incubators.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So everyone was inside their own incubators, and the... figures on the sticks that people would be carrying are just the electrical inputs that are tapped into their brain through the plugs.
It's the program they live in.
Right. So while everything seems real because that is what they are experiencing through their senses, they do not have the ability to move and perceive in a different way. And there's also a real sense that most people, when exposed to what the reality is, died. They weren't able to make it. So once they were unplugged, their brain literally couldn't compute what was happening, and they just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, you have who was it? Cyrus? Was he the bald computer guy? Where he wants to go back. He wants to go back into the cave.
Yes.
He's like, just fucking give me that.
He's eating.
Give me that blue pill.
He's eating the steak, and he's,
yeah. I know this isn't real.
I know this isn't real, but my brain's telling me this is juicy and tender, and he wants to go back and be rich.
So you have this, and you also have, so Neo in that is the real like hero's journey. He has to go through, he comes out of the shadows and the darkness. He's called into this adventure, which is learning about what the Matrix is, and he goes through these trials and tribulations about how he can, kind of convert himself into something greater. And then he has to return. So he has to go back into the Matrix and defeat so that he can help basically free the people there.
And learn Kung Fu.
and learn kung fu and maybe how to, like, I don't know, dodge bullets and fly a helicopter and other things. So, Morpheus is a bit like the philosopher in that sense, where he's trying to figure out who's ready to leave and who's not, right? Who wants to stay in the shackles and who he can break free and get on his side. Cause he's trying to build the team and he's looking for,
who's the Oracle in this? Prometheus,
the sun. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe there's some issues. You want to talk about the issues?
Yeah.
Or my issues.
Okay.
So Plato's hierarchy, all right, he's got four levels. Pyramid scheme. Ready? Buy my product.
Okay.
It's the best. You know it's better than my product? You selling my product on my team. That's better. Then we can both use it. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you knew how pyramid scheme worked.
I know how pyramid scheme works.
All right. So on the bottom.
Yoli?
Yeah, Yoli.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm super healthy. I drink green shakes.
Yeah. Shit your brains. Lose the weight.
That's not Yoli. That's the Ali. Ollie? I don't remember what the other one is. Ellie?
Allegedly?
I don't know.
First level, imitations. So you can think of this as paintings. Let's go with
representations.
Yes.
Okay.
Like a painting of a flower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next level up would be individuals. So now you have the actual flower, the real life flower. Okay. That would be an individual. Then you have the concept. So the concept of beauty in a flower or the redness of the flower.
Okay.
Okay. And then you have this idea of the forms, which is the absolute perfection of the beauty in that flower. And it's not something that we can attain. Right. So this world is otherworldly. So I don't want to say, cause I can't say for sure. Like when we die, we might go to the world of the forms where things are perfect. So you see,
Is it Elysium?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that one. Fuck you. Quit bringing up those movies.
No, that's the term for like,
but it is a movie.
Yeah.
So there's,
yeah, by the Greek religious, it was the afterlife. It was, like, that was their heaven, Elysium.
Okay. So the world of the forms is like the perfect archetypes, right? So if
the Jordan Petersons,
if Neo is, he is an individual in the movie. The concept of Neo is a step above that as the hero's journey archetype. And then there would be another step above that, which is the creme de la creme, right?
Neo's not perfect?
And we, not perfect enough.
Keanu Reeves is perfect.
Plato would say not perfect enough.
I guess we got to get John Wick an Academy Award.
Not perfect enough.
Okay, so you're gonna, it's never attainable.
Never enough. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like that.
You don't like that you can't become perfect? Or that...
I don't like that everything exists outside of what we are capable of.
I think you can lose some form and function with that, or some form and order. If that's the case, how do you motivate people?
I'm sure he talks about that.
Okay.
Cause there is a real sense of that sense of like arete, where we're striving to be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. It's just that in any given topic, there's going to be something that is profoundly more perfect than what you're doing or what you are or what you're seeing. Does that make sense?
All right. I'm right there with you.
So what is one of the real important things about the cave and the story of the cave? It begs the question, can we doubt what we are seeing, right? So can we learn to question our own understanding about the nature of our reality? And if we're able to do that, our perception is probably going to widen and we're probably going to learn a lot more. If we don't ever doubt that what we see or what we think or what we hear or know is incorrect, we have no reason to look elsewhere.
Questions are good.
So that's a big one.
I have this saying that I've stolen from others, and it's show your work. And we live in, or I work in a very, reactionary world, you know, customer service, IT, or, you know, third party IT. We wait for people to call, and not necessarily my team, but elements of our office wait for people to call for something to be wrong. And the client inevitably say, my computer doesn't work. And you're like, okay,
is it plugged in?
But then they'll say, they'll immediately do that. I've already restarted it. I've done this. Okay. So they've told us four things they've done. Now, how do we confirm they've actually done it? Because there's so many times where we've taken them at face value and we've wasted hours of resources over something they said they did, but they didn't actually do.
Right.
Not because they were malicious and were lying to us. They just didn't conceptually understand what it really meant to restart the computer or to make sure the monitors were plugged in, because there's HDMI and there's a power cord.
Also,
so it is okay. Walk me through what you did. Let's show your work. And it's even engineer to engineer. Hey, I am escalating an issue to you right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Show your work, because either you have enough of a solid foundation for me to work off of and keep continuing on, or if you have elements of your base that are broken, then I have nothing to stand on. So show your work.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you plug the computer in?
Yes.
I plugged it in the power strip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is the power strip on?
Yeah.
Is the power strip plugged in? Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. I plugged in the wall. Okay. Did you make sure that circuit's on?
Mm-hmm.
Does something else work in that plug-in?
Okay.
So
I mean, happened yesterday with me and my dad. I did a bunch of stuff at his house for him. And he called me and he's like, I don't think your network's working here. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, I can't get the TV to turn on. So the network's bad. Okay. Well, let me look at your network real fast. And I pulled up on my phone, cause there's an app that does it for, I mean, I can see what is and isn't connected. And I'm like, it shows your smart controller. It's called Savant. It says it's offline. So why don't you go downstairs and look at that computer? Goes downstairs. Yep. No green light. Okay. Why don't you unplug it, plug it back in? Still no green light. Okay. What's it plugged into? Power strip. Okay. Is the power strip plugged in? Is it showing green? Yep. Okay. Now pull the cord out of the power strip and put it into a different one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. It's turning on. Okay. You have bad power strip.
Right.
He's like, oh, well, that's great. It works now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guess what? It wasn't the network. It was
right.
Your power strip's broken, which has nothing to do with the network. So that's a reminder. Actually, I need to buy him a new power strip. So,
so there's that idea of can you constantly question? I mean, essentially that's what philosophy is, right?
It is. It's constantly questioning, but there are, I've seen this from people before. Well, what is the very foundation of it all, and what can and can't we trust? And if that means nothing, then my mind is constantly spiraling and I have nothing to attach my hopes, dreams, and reasons to. And
we will get there at some episode. The fact is, even the few people that have read Heidegger and want to ask that question, they don't live their life like that.
You right? can't.
It's really not efficient.
No
way to live your life.
No.
Right. So
it's, but there are,
so when you get down to it, are you going to make assumptions and presuppositions?
Have to.
Yes, you have to.
But
why? Because we don't fucking know everything.
It's very low level. You're making very low level assumptions. You're not, that allow you to build a base that is stable, because those low level assumptions aren't going to get ripped away. But if you make some very high level assumptions, those have the ability to get ripped away and shake your world.
And we're talking about assumptions like, I believe because I perceive everything that is around me and that I can leave and come back and close my eyes and open my eyes and all of these things, that this is my reality.
Yes.
That I choose to believe that I am not in a simulation. Well, how do you know you're not in a simulation?
I don't.
I cannot prove currently that I'm not in a simulation, right? But I choose to believe that, okay? Because all of the information that is given to me leads me to believe that this is real.
What's the flip side? Oh, I believe I'm in a simulation. What does it change? It doesn't change anything besides the fact that you're stuck here. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get yourself out?
Find Morpheus.
Yeah.
Morpheus. I just need to get on DOS. Morpheus. I just need to get on MS-DOS in the middle of the night and play techno music. And I'll be fine. He will come for me.
Morpheus is like a really bad aesthetics company hardware piece.
Yeah.
I think it is actually a laser or something.
I feel like Morpheus is probably a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Based off of that movie.
Mm. Yeah.
So in that sense, the Socrates' very famous line, which is that there's no meaning in living in the darkness. Like the prisoners that are chained to the wall, there's no meaning to their life, whether they live or die or nothing changes in the world outside of them. And so his saying is the unexamined life is not worth living. Why? Because you're just watching the wall. That's what you're doing.
You're not actively engaging.
So
you're not actively poking, prodding.
Have effect on the things that are around you. In order to do that, you need to gain some new perspectives and question things, right? And the last kind of piece is, if you do go on that journey, and I think there will be some people going on this journey. I know one of our listeners that texted me and said, "Hey, I'm buying philosophy books. What should I get?" I was like, "Fucking everything." I go, "Where are you?" And she goes, "Books a million." And I was like, "Buy all the fucking Bibles."
I had to go past.
There's 11. Nothing else there.
I had to go buy 11 racks to get to this section. It's a little dusty. It's in the back. I don't think the light bulbs work back here.
But there's some good shit out there. There's tons of boring stuff too. You know, it's not all super exciting, but there are exciting ways to think about it. But just know that as you go on that journey, and this isn't just philosophy related, but anything knowledge based, which is philosophy based, the more you learn and the more you challenge other people, the more they're probably not going to like you. So going against the status quo, it's not comfortable.
You're brave of the wilderness.
Yes. So if you find yourself going down that road, go back and listen to the Braving the Wilderness episodes, because that's where you're going to find yourself. So it is, can you have the courage to journey towards enlightenment, even if it means distancing yourself from the ones that you love, the people that you normally surround yourself with, right? And I guess if they really love you, then they're going to be accepting of that journey.
Hopefully.
Would be the thing. But there's plenty of instances, especially when we're younger, and by younger, I mean college and past that, really, where you surround yourself with people, and as soon as you start kind of breaking out of the status quo of what the normal conditions are, suddenly we don't seem so tight anymore.
Bye.
Yeah. So just know that that's a real possibility. So
it's okay.
That happens. It happens all the time.
You'll find people, yeah, unless you're in a really small town in the middle of Wyoming.
You'll still find people.
And that's not a knock against Wyoming. I happen to like Wyoming.
It's just
a very remote place.
It's just hard to, yeah. We like these homogeneous,
neat, orderly zones, boxes,
right?
Neat, orderly boxes.
And so we kind of all just kind of mold ourselves into these a little bit. Sometimes we're faking it, and just so we don't kind of disrupt that. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to start getting down to things, you're going to have to disrupt that. You're going to have to stand up to somebody that's like, vaccines are not a real thing. You're like, well, okay, I think there's a little bit of science behind some of that. So
yeah, let's talk about eradicating polio and letting that back in.
So
that's good job, guys.
But there are these things where, and that's like a reversal. I find that some of the arguments that we're in today are not so much because people are moving forward too much. It's because people are going backwards too much, and you're having to like fight that same fight all over again. But the same can be true. And the ones that I think of are, he's been on Rogan a ton of times. He's got a thing on Netflix. It's Graham Hancock. Mm-hmm. And so all of the ancient civilizations and pyramids and things like that. And a lot of the ways that he thinks about things and actually how far civilizations have gone back and what kind of intelligence they had.
They talk about the Dark Ages for a reason.
And
what,
I mean, like
what Europe was post Roman Empire was wild.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, just
prior to, prior to like Egypt, you know, like you're talking 10,000 years ago, there was he thinks a civilization at least as advanced as Egypt. And 30 years ago, I mean, still today he's shunned by a lot of people, but 30 years ago he was like a leper, you know, like get out of here. You have no business being here. And the more and more knowledge that comes out, it raises a lot. I mean, maybe not so much answers, but a lot more questions where it's like, well, that does kind of make sense. And also, where are all the significant answers for the questions that he's asking that everybody seems to previously have known the answers to? So are you going to face some struggles? Yeah, you are. You're not going to learn comfortably.
Yeah, learning's not usually comfortable.
No. So.
And if it's fun, you're doing it wrong.
No.
Yes, maybe.
Sometimes.
I don't know.
Learning can be fun.
Yeah, it is. But it's okay. I mean, you have to understand that your head's going to go up. You're going to bash your head in a couple times. Yeah. Like if you're just constantly making progress without some interruption, you might not be doing it right.
Well, if something is easy, you're typically not learning.
Hmm. You need stressors.
Yes. If you're doing something and it's easy, you kind of already know how to do it. If that makes sense.
It does.
You know what I would love?
What?
I would love someone to ask a question about this episode.
Who, me?
No.
Oh.
Anybody.
There's nobody here but me and you.
Oh. I mean later.
Oh.
Not right.
Put it in the comments, guys. Like, subscribe, all the fun shit. Share it with your friends, please.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Do that. Share. You guys have friends, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
You might not after you listen to this.
You too. You got friends? Share it.
All right. Any last thoughts before we wrap this up besides the comments? Tiny hands?
No, I'm about to drink a lot and get into a hot takes episode.
Love it. All right.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys later. Bye.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.